Hi, Patrick. This first episode shows you as quite a shows Jeff as quite a techno klutz here. How are you in real life? Are you good at texting? Do you do that other stuff? Or?
No, I'm absolutely a klutz when it comes to all that. I get laughed at constantly by my kids. I won't play. I did not actually get an email address until 4 years ago. So I'm still convinced, unless there are still a few of those really like super eccentric, neurotic, freak holdouts that don't have an email address, I had to have been one of the last holdouts. I won't play video games with my kids because I just get sick of just constantly getting my ass handed to me and being made to feel totally lame. And, you know, I have two of my eldest, you know, they have iPhones, and I still have an old flip phone. So I do my best to try to keep up. Yeah.
Ever since the Bickersons, we've always enjoyed the kind of relationship that Jeff and Audrey have. It's so much fun to watch. But in real life, is there any reality? I mean, you've been married forever. Do you have any kind of a fun bickering back and forth, or do you and your wife just be real careful of each other?
Well, no, we do, and I think that it's important, and what you can do is you get to the point where you can literally say the nastiest things to each other and laugh. Now, there might be an element of truth to them, but what you end up doing is essentially is dealing with issues in a way that almost becomes less confrontational, you know, so it's funny, you could look at people, if they've been married for 20 years, I just celebrated my 19th, we just celebrated our 19th, 2 days ago. So we've been together for 19 years, and you have to be able to be candid, laugh, joke, say horrible things, and also, you know, and underline all of it is the genuine love and respect. So those from the outside, I think they watch what, and they get it, even though, you know, the back and forth might just see if you're going to take it, you know. If you're going to take it for, you know, for a face value, it might seem very mean-spirited, but in a sense, it's just somewhat of, you know, a loving spar.
Cool. Okay. Thanks a lot, and congratulations on the first 19 there.
Well, thank you. Thank you, man.
David Martindale has our next question. Please go ahead.
Hey, David.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for doing the call. My first interview with you dates back to the Seinfeld years for a story about Putty the Face Painter and how he became a hero to the Devils fans. And anyway, when I interviewed you at that time, it was by phone, and I guess your wife was in the room because you said something that about yourself that sounded a little self-satisfied, and she took a shot at you in the background.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, I was wondering if Jeff and Audrey feels comfortable and familiar to you because of that relationship at home.
It really does. It's constantly life imitating art and art imitating life on our show. Everybody can relate to their roles, and it's just funny how that all works out. I'm actually on a cell phone in Jerry's Deli right now, and of course it's Jerry's Deli was a haunt of you know, Seinfeld and the cast. In the day, they would leave, you know, after the show, after they tape a show at CBS Radford, everybody would go to Jerry's Deli. And anyways, that's where I find myself today, on a cell phone, hoping that my old flip phone here doesn't die out on me in the midst of this big old conference call I got going on here.
Well, we'll power through no matter what.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jeff would like to have Russell's bachelor life, if only for a week?
Oh, absolutely. And my wife knows that too, and she'll say with total sincerity, I really wish that you could have what you want, but I know deep down she doesn't. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, I don't know. You find yourself on that one side of the fence or the other, and you know, I've got a wonderful wife and four beautiful kids. But I mean, any red-blooded American male is going to look at the life that David Spade has, and say, gee, that would be fun for a little while.
day. Yeah.
Yeah. What, a day? I need more than a day.
Okay.
A good solid month, you know, and then I'll shut up.
Okay, cool. All these years later, do the Devils still put Putty the Face Painter up on the big screen during games? Do you happen to know?
That's what I understand. I'm waiting to get an invite back. I want to go back and watch a game again.
Wow.
I may even paint my face just for fun.
The Devils still dig Putty the Face Painter. Cool.
That's right. You know, that was the year they won the Stanley Cup. Was the year they started throwing Putty up there. So he is a little bit of an icon there. He is a little bit of, I think, a good luck charm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks. Always a pleasure. Be cool.
Take care, man. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye, Dan.
We'll hear next from LaWanda Johnson. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
LaWanda Johnson. How are you doing today?
Alanda, hi, how are you?
I'm fine today. Well, first, starting off, what can we expect for this fourth season from you on rules and engagement?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat that question?
What can we expect on this fourth season premiere of rules of engagement?
Well, you know, Jeff's a little bit clueless when it comes to he's getting hit on by one of the gals that he works with. And it gets a bit absurd, and but it's fun because he just keeps getting in deeper and deeper. So that's fun, and you know Russell encourages him to flirt back, and that just gets him in more trouble. So, all the shows are really fun this year. We had a blast. The show once again moved up to another level. Now we have Athir Kalin on the show all episodes. He's been a great addition. And every table read we had, the whole cast was just thrilled this year because we laughed and just enjoyed every episode this year. So it's a good show this year.
Well, if you could recap on the previous seasons, what was one of your favorite episodes?
From last season?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I don't know. It kind of gets to be a little bit of a blur. I had had some fun working with Bob Odenkirk last year. He did an episode, and Brian Dennehy. That was fun. There were a couple of episodes that I love from last season. You know, I thought last season was strong. The show definitely came together a bit more last season. But this season, I feel like we even made a stronger transition. So I'm excited to see what the hopefully optimistic to see a good fan response to the show this season.
Okay, cool. Besides rules of engagement, what other upcoming projects can we expect?
Well, let's see. I've got a little family film coming out on DVD, Flick It 2, which I thought was kind of a sweet story and a nice family film. So did that little direct DVD offering, and then Hoodwink 2 is coming out. Was supposed to come out this month, but now it's coming out in September, it looks like. And got some more Venture Brothers and still continue to work on Family Guy.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Okay, thank you for your time and congratulations again on the fourth season.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you. You have a good new year here.
Your line is open.
Mr. Snyder, your line is open. Please check your mute button. We are unable to hear you.
Hi.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing excellent, thanks. By the way, congratulations on all the films that have two at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry, what's that?
The you just mentioned a couple of films that were both number two.
So, thanks, yeah.
I got a quick question for you that's been asked by my audience. They said to me, you are now entering your fourth season on a great show called Rules of Engagement on CBS. But tell us a little bit about when you're walking around the streets. Do people notice you from that, or do they still remember you more from Seinfeld?
Well, it's rules of engagement, Seinfeld, and oftentimes it's a little short-lived show I did called The Tick. You know,
yeah.
It always depends, but I would say that primarily, out of everything I've done, it tends to be Seinfeld and Rules. But through each year now, Rules seems to be getting a lot more attention, which is a good thing.
Yeah, one of the things.
Although it's a fourth season, we've been mid-season, so we haven't done a single full season of the show. So the show hasn't been on as much as a regular four-season show. We're hoping that this year it's a transitional period and we get a full season pickup for next season. But I feel like the show's really found itself, and the cast has great chemistry. The new addition to the cast is wonderful, and the writing's gotten better throughout the seasons. And I just I really love the show now. I can't say that I always loved the show. I always felt like there were certain things that needed to be attended to. I liked the show. I liked the cast. I really did. I thought it had a lot of potential. But I have to say that this is the best transition I feel like the show's taken.
I think you were right. I thought the chemistry in the show has improved immensely, as has the writing, and that's really the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, and, it's hard to do that. I mean, usually it takes at least a couple seasons for a show to find itself. Well, we've really only had a couple seasons, I mean, if you put all our episodes together, it only comes out to about 36, 37, at least coming up into this fourth season. So we're in a good place now, I think.
Well, one of the things I think is really interesting about your career is that you've always played the same kind of nonchalant kind of guys. You're a big guy. But I think that the most interesting part of your career is the fact that your voice is also so well known aside from your physical presence because of all the animation stuff you've done.
That was sort of a happy accident. I had expressed an interest in doing cartoons and voiceover work. I just thought it would be fun. I growing up and always being a huge fan of Disney, having four children, and when the opportunity presented itself, I'd made mention to my agents that I'd like to do some voiceover work, and it was just good timing because it was right during the ninth and final season of Seinfeld. So I went in and I met over at Disney for The Emperor's New Groove, and they're very somewhat secretive about their movie projects. I didn't have a script; I just had a few pages that had two characters on the page. One was Kronk and one was Yzma, and I didn't even know what a Kronk was, a monster, a machine. It's a Disney movie. Who knows what a Kronk is? So I just came up with a voice that I thought like a Kronk would sound like, and they liked it. I did that, and then, it was within a few months that they were doing a Buzz Lightyear TV series, and Tim Allen wasn't going to do that. So immediately I became your poor man's Buzz Lightyear. I said, I'll do that, and that was the beginning of it for me, and it has been a lot of fun. I love working for Disney. I love working in cartoons, and
you got to work with the other Buzz Lightyear in Big Trouble.
I did, and Tim's a great guy. I've always been a fan. He's a funny man, and he's and just an all around good guy too. And it was fun because I think in the beginning, I met him on Big Trouble and gave each other a little bit of good-natured ribbing, It was on the set of Joe Somebody where I was smacking him. I smacked him in front of his 10-year-old daughter. I played a horrible, horrible guy. And I said, I must be your worst nightmare. And now I voice your character. Now I'm following you from set to set, and I'm smacking you in front of your 10-year-old daughter. I said, it's really not, it really wasn't supposed to be this way, Tim.
That's
and apparently he didn't take it personally because he ended up producing a pilot in Los Angeles that year and hired me to do it. So
there you go.
Well,
Patrick, thank you so much for your time, and good luck on season four.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.